Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. The University of Kansas Health System is the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Royals.
And gone!
Trust the same experts who make the right call for the Royals and go to kansashealthsystem.com/royals.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like we've had a couple of those, and every one of them is tremendous. And I wouldn't expect this to be any different. They got a tremendous team there. So, and those two have a lot of respect for each other. You remember when Tom came into the locker room after the championship game and talked to Patrick, and Patrick responded like, you know, a young guy would respond to the GOAT. And so, you know, we look forward to the opportunity to play them. And I know Pat does with Tom, and likewise Tom, I'm sure, does, you know, with Pat. So it should be a heck of a football game.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. The Chiefs win the AFC Championship game against the Buffalo Bills, 38-24. Patrick Mahomes, 29-38, 325 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Darrell Williams was the leading rusher, 13 carries for 52 yards and a touchdown. Tyreek Hill had 9 catches for 172 yards. Travis Kelce, 13 catches, 118 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Frank Clark had 2 sacks. Tano Passanio and Legarius Sneed each had a sack apiece. Damn. And, of course, Rashad Fenton with his big interception. And right now we have Todd Lebo joining us. Todd is going to tell us why kicking field goals is the key to beating the Chiefs. Todd, your thoughts?
Well, it's the way to go. I really thought in that first drive of the game, you know, we were really going to see some action because, you know, McDermott went for the fourth down and it was like, we're going to see some of this stuff that we didn't just watch in the other game. And then it turned into, okay, I guess, you know, 3's going to get it done against the Chiefs. Very unusual decision. I'll direct you guys to, there's a lot of analytics out there. And, you know, I know you guys love the analytics, but there's a Twitter follow called the Fourth Down Decision Bot, which actually puts some of these things in there and all these things that guys like Mellinger talk about, you know, plus something win percentage, blah, 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 all those things. And I'm pretty surprised. Like, you go back and look at that Packers deal, it says that they're supposed to go for it, but it's not a strong recommendation to go for it. So here's my point. I think sometimes these guys rely on that too much and don't just understand that you're down 8 and Tom Brady's on the other side of the field, or you're playing Patrick Mahomes. 3's won't do it. You need to forget about these little analytic things sometimes and just actually go try to win football games. But the Bills didn't try to do that, and the Packers certainly didn't at the end of the game, and we're going to have a hell of a Super Bowl matchup coming up in a couple weeks.
You're damn right, Todd. Nate and Katie.
I am amazed at how many teams decided not to go for it in just different circumstances this entire playoff. But the Chiefs and Andy Reid did, even when their backup quarterback was in games, and they believe in themselves, so they won. And I'm still just fascinated by the culture that Andy Reid has built with this team, Todd. Because did anybody really worry when they were down 9-0? I'm just curious, was anybody here genuinely worried, like, oh man, the Chiefs are in trouble right now?
If you're still worried about 9-0 against the Buffalo Bills, then you're never going to not worry, okay? You just watched this team go win the Super Bowl last year, down 24 in a game, okay? And down by 10 in the fourth quarter of the freaking Super Bowl. And then you're like, you know.
When someone is harassing you, sitting next to you, trying to get you to eat someone else's candy bar that has 2 bites out of it, if you can get through then. What?
You can get through anything. So I'm hoping yesterday, Stephen, at about 6:15, you were feeling pretty good. You were okay.
I felt great. I felt great about the game. I felt great going into the game, during the game. I mean, because 9-0 is what is that? Okay, whatever. And right away, the Chiefs jumped on them. That didn't last long. And so you're right. 9. It's amazing. 9-0, 10-0, whatever in the playoff game. They've been through it, and it's almost like it makes them even better. Like, they're offended that you even thought you could win this game by taking a lead. Now you're gonna you know, get an ass kicking, and that's what happened. They just, after that 9-0 lead they handed them, the Chiefs kicked their ass.
And it really was handing it to them. I mean, Mecole Hardman with the drop on the punt is handing someone a touchdown. And I just love the way he bounced back, too. I love the way this team rallies around each other. They don't get down on each other. And, you know, Mecole went right back out there to return punts. They got him involved in the offense. Andy knows how to push all the right buttons. They all believe in each other. Now, part of this comes from they're very, very talented, okay? I mean, it's one thing to believe in someone who's very talented like Mecole Hardman. It's another thing to go believe in someone who's not any good at their job and can't do things. So it helps that you make a mistake that you're not going to make another one because this team is so exceptional. We just have to understand that. You know, people around the league and other fans are probably going to be sick of the Chiefs if they aren't already. Now, it's different this week because everyone's already been sick of Tom Brady for 20 years. So there's probably a lot of people going to be rooting for the Chiefs this week. But it won't be long where people are going to be like, all right, these guys again, we've had enough of this already, okay? Now, they're fun and entertaining to watch, so maybe that'll make people like them more. But they're just too good, right? I heard, Nate, you were talking last hour about, you know, and Andy mentioned this last night too, with working through all the stuff with that's going on in the world, right? And they try to be a bright spot for people, and there's some very serious things going on in the world. And the Chiefs have just been a bright spot for Kansas City for sure, for the NFL as well, and just for the professionalism, everything that they've done to get through this year. You know, you've had these teams where people get in trouble, they're out there taking pictures at charity events, and they're getting, every time the Chiefs got a game move, it wasn't because something they did. It was because Cam Newton came to their stadium, or he didn't come to the stadium, they didn't bring him because he was tested positive. And the Tennessee Titans messed a bunch of stuff up, so that meant the Bills game had to move to a Monday. The Chiefs just handle all this stuff like such pros, man. They say, all right, what's the situation? It's kind of like being down 9-0 or being down 24-0. All right, how do we dig out of this thing? You're going to present them with a bunch of problems that are going on with the pandemic and shutdowns and all this stuff. You know what we're going to do? We're going to figure out a solution, and we're going to handle it. We're going to get through it the best way they can. They're incredible, just absolutely incredible.
Andy Reid has empowered the people around him so much. And like you said, now it starts with he surrounds himself with good people, so it's easier to empower them. He surrounds himself with people he can trust. But, you know, there are guys on this team that were knuckleheads when they were younger that might not have been obsessed with football every minute of the day. But he empowers his players so much that they draw up plays for him and he uses them, right? So his players go out there, and when they're not playing football, they sit around, and instead of doing other things, they now think it's fun to draw up plays and get more involved in the offense. They take more ownership in the offense and all those things. I mean, it's just like from top to bottom, watching the way that this team, he has cultivated an entire roster full of guys who are obsessed with playing and winning. You know, and having fun doing it. And it's really refreshing to see that, too, because it does feel like a lot of times there are coaches out there that make it seem like football is just a grind. You know, it's just it's all just not fun. And you have to lose your personality and all those things. And Andy Reid has proven that you don't have to approach it that way and you can still win at the highest level. And that's really fun to watch, too.
They really are. And I think they all understand how good the team is, and they know that there's nothing given to you. You don't just need to go walk out there and go to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl. You have to work really hard to do it, even if you're a special talent and a special team, because there are plenty of great teams with great quarterbacks that didn't win a Super Bowl or, you know, got there and were winning by 25 points in the second half and didn't win the game, and then they never get back, and they're like three coaches later. I mean, these things happen, and the Chiefs have a special thing going, and I think they all realize it. Think about all the things they went through last year. I mean, you know, Sammy Watkins took a pay cut. Now, he hasn't been a big part of anything that's gone on, but that means something, that he's like, he just wanted to be a part of a winning team and wanted to go do that. And Chris Jones got a contract signed. And Patrick Mahomes figured out a way to be somehow a half a billionaire and club friendly at the same time, you know? Those things just don't happen everywhere. And I don't know if it's going to be like that for the next 15 years. Who knows? You don't know who's going to come through the door. But when your star is Patrick Mahomes, and they see the example he puts out there and the way he goes about his business and the business of football, I think it rubs off on everybody. And I think we're on the verge of something really special for the next foreseeable future, hopefully. But you just never know, because if you go and you lose the Super Bowl, all of a sudden you're like, oh, my gosh, you're 1-1 in the Super Bowl. So these guys will be supremely dedicated over the next 2 weeks to making sure that they win that game.
Okay, I've did some different facts and figures and comments out of the game last night that I want to run by you, Todd. And then Nate and Jake, if you have any comments on the things I bring up, please jump in. And then also, if Jake wants to at any point play Frank Clark's comments about Tom Brady, he can do that at any point. You have a free pass, no matter what I'm talking about, Jake Pounders. First, Travis Kelce. Here's some more records he added to the list last night.
Nah, I ain't got nothing to say to him. I'll see his ass on Sunday in the Super Bowl.
That's right. Frank Clark, that's about Tom Brady, but Frank Clark will also see Travis Kelce's ass. They'll all be there.
Mm-hmm.
Kelce becomes the first tight end in NFL history with 5 postseason games of at least 100 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're not impressed with what he does in the regular season, he does in the postseason as well. Travis Kelce passed Rob Gronkowski for most receiving yards by a tight end in a single season in NFL history, including the playoffs. Gronkowski had 1,585 receiving yards in 2011, if you include the playoffs. So now Kelce owns the regular season record and the record if you include the postseason. And so no tight end has ever caught more received more yards in a full season than Travis Kelce, who was magnificent again last night. Todd Lebo.
Oh, he was great. And you know what? He probably would have had 100 yards in that game against Tennessee if he hadn't gotten concussed, because he had 66 in the first half of that one and a touchdown. So just add another one to it, man. How about that? It would have been. But Kelce's great, man. He's the guy who is always just kind of there when you need him to, in addition to making the big plays that they have designed up for him. You know, he's just there. It was funny last night when he was describing the second touchdown, because those were some weird touchdowns he had last night, right? He had the little underhand one, and then he had the big lollipop. And he's like, Patrick threw the ball up there so high, and he's like, he didn't know how wide open he was. Now, you go back and look at the pictures, it's incredible. He barely guys in the screen, but when you're running the play, he doesn't know who's behind him. Did he just throw this ball up there and he's going to get lit up? So it was a funny moment on the Zoom last night. He's like, hey, man, he threw it up there, and I was like, taking forever to come down, but that was just a great design. He said they all forgot about him. How do you forget about him in the red zone? You forget about him.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Crazy. Okay, so
what a great play design.
Sometimes when I read a stat or read a statement that catches Jake's ear, you'll hear, what's it, you'll do, it's not quite Ric Flair, but woo, you'll do something right here in the background, or you'll just, you get,
something like
I feel
that.
Like this. I feel like this is going to get some kind of reaction out of you.
Right,
but we need to remember, in all this, our love fest for the Chiefs offense, and it's deserved, we need to remember how well the Chiefs defense played yesterday. They were excellent. And Steve Spagnuolo has been terrific, especially in the postseason since Andy Reid hired him to replace Bob Sutton. But listen to this. This is from Ed Werder. You know old Ed Werder,
smart
don't you, Todd Lebo?
Yeah, absolutely.
This my jaw hit the floor, because I know that they were good last night against the Bills, but this is just this gets a big wow, a Dave Armstrong style wow. The Chiefs defense pressured Josh Allen on 27 of his 57 dropbacks, 47%. That is the most pressures for a quarterback in a playoff game since ESPN began tracking quarterback pressures in 2009. Also pressured Allen on 10 of 12 third down dropbacks. And, of course, pressure is a key to defeating Tom Brady teams. Can you effing believe that?
I want to know.
47% of his dropbacks, he was what they consider pressured. That's the most pressures for a quarterback in a playoff game since ESPN began tracking quarterback pressures in 2009, and they pressured him on 10 of 12 third down dropbacks.
Nothing was easy for Josh Allen last night. Now, they're facing a different animal in Tom Brady, but he's pressure hurts him too. He threw picks when he was under pressure. And the thing that I thought was going to be a key for the Chiefs defense the entire week heading up was they haven't been able to get sacks, right, with just rushing four. But they've gotten some pressures. But it doesn't matter how you get there. It doesn't matter if you just do it with three or four or whatever. However you get there is fine. And when they were sending Snead, and they were sending Dan Sorensen, and they were sending Tyrann Mathieu, and then eventually after a while it didn't seem like they needed to do that. Then it was like the regular guys were just getting back there. But Spags has drawn up a lot of blitzes, and it's interesting. You know, God rest his soul, you know, Gunther Cunningham used to blitz on every play. We're going to blitz you. We're going to blitz you. And they've done some of that. They haven't been all out crazy blitzes, but they just find a way to disguise it to where the other team isn't ready for it. And those are like Gunther numbers on blitzing and pressuring and doing those things. Spags has been great at what he does, and it doesn't matter to him, and it doesn't seem to matter to this team who gets the pressure or who gets the sack. You know, I mean, L'Jarius Sneed is not supposed to be someone who has a sack in four straight games, but he does.
Well, we talked about that with Grunny on Friday, or Thursday, I guess, when we were talking about how Sneed has been so good this year, that one of the things he's been so good at is he disguises his blitz really well. And when he gets there, he breaks down so that he doesn't like come out of control and run right past the guy. Because like,
whip him. Yeah.
You know, like, and he did it perfectly on that sack that he had against Allen, because, you know, Allen tried to kind of juke him a little bit and he couldn't get around him. And that ended up what happened. I mean, gosh, how long was that sack? It was like 20-yard loss, whatever it was. And I do think, like, look, Tom Brady doesn't have the elusiveness of Josh Allen. Like, he's not as athletic to escape pressure, but he obviously is going to be much better than Josh Allen at reading those blitzes ahead of time and seeing them coming.
Maybe.
You would think.
I mean, he threw three picks yesterday.
In a row.
Right?
In a row. You're right.
They had the game in hand.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny, after the game, Brett Veach was on the Zoom, and they were talking about Snead. And he said, you know, I mean, hey, listen, if you went back and redrafted, the guy's a first-round pick, so you'd say we got pretty lucky getting him where they did. I don't think they knew what they had when they drafted him, but they know now, and they use him. That's the thing. They there's no stigma to not being a first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Can you play? We'll go play you. Can you blitz? Sure. Let's go ahead and blitz you. You know, I mean, this guy's been picking balls off since the very first game of the season. And now he's making plays in the second-to-last game of the season. He's been an incredible rookie. Absolutely incredible.
Todd Lebo is our guest right now. Oh, that's right. Well, Susan has never looked more impressed. She said, hi, Lebo. She walked in there, and I said, Todd Lebo's. She's like, nodded her approval, like, oh, that's a good guest. So, and then she yelled, hi, Lebo.
How'd you get this guy? Yeah, how'd you get him?
Very excited to hear from you. Let's hear a couple of more stats and facts from last night that I wanted to get Lebo's comments on. But again, don't forget about Steve Spagnuolo and what this defense was able to do against the Buffalo Bills. Excellent. Now this is not good news. It was a gut punch, but the Chiefs just another thing that the Chiefs are going to have to overcome to win the Super Bowl. We all feel terrible about the injury to Eric Fisher. And Ian Rappaport reported early this morning that it was a ruptured Achilles tendon, as Andy Reid alluded to, and so he's out. Matt Derrick had the tweet at about midnight. How valuable is Pro Bowl left tackle Eric Fisher to the Chiefs? KC is 27-1 with Fisher in the lineup the past two seasons, and 4-5 when he isn't. They were undefeated last year with Eric Fisher in the lineup. You know, Patrick Mahomes said last night, as Matt tweeted, the O-line has accepted every challenge dished its direction. This is going to be a big one. And can they win this game without Eric Fisher? Yes. Will they win it without him? I believe they will. But that Eric Fisher has been very important and has been, I think, far better than the credit he gets in Kansas City from some people. I think he's been just rock solid, and he's a big part of that offensive line. He's a great teammate that the guys love, and that sucks. But, man, 27-1 with him in the lineup the last couple of years, 4-5 when he's not, Lebo.
Yeah, he's been a really good player. And, you know, it's interesting. Part of what people think about someone is where they were picked, right? We just mentioned L'Jarius Sneed. Mm-hmm. L'Jarius Sneed was not picked in the first round. He's been great. So everyone is like, this guy's incredible. You know, you go pick a left tackle with the overall number one pick, the only time you've ever had the overall number one pick, and you're like, oh, that's what you're doing? But remember there was the little three-headed monster of tackles like him and Luke Jokel and Lane Johnson? Well, I mean, Luke Jokel, I don't think he's been in the league for like 3 or 4 years. You know, I mean, Eric Fisher's been great. He's been a big part of what the Chiefs are. Now, Alex Smith was a bigger thing when they brought him in 2013 to have a real quarterback, right? And Patrick Mahomes has obviously been a bigger thing when they drafted him in 2017. And Andy Reid's probably been the biggest thing of all in righting the ship for this franchise from where they were, from going through Todd Haley and, you know, Scott Pioli and, you know, Romeo and all those things. But Eric Fisher's up there as far as just a steadying force and been a good player. Now, you know, what are you, a Hall of Fame left tackle? Who cares? You don't win Super Bowls with Hall of Fame left tackles, right? You win Super Bowls with Hall of Fame quarterbacks. They Joe Thomas was this stud for Cleveland for 10 years and played with 20 quarterbacks. Well, he didn't win anything, right? So you got to have good players, and you want them around. And Eric Fisher's been very, very good. And he would end up, I mean, gosh, if you go win like 3 or 4 Super Bowls, that's how you get in the Hall of Fame as a left tackle. It's going to be hard for them to figure this out because they have answered all the questions with the shuffling around. Because Mitchell Schwartz has been absolutely fantastic and didn't miss a snap for his career until last year. He finally missed one, and this year he's finally hurt with his back. So they've been missing players in, you know, all parts of the offensive line at some point this year. The disappointing part about this is, especially for Fisher personally and for the team, is this is the biggest game. And the Tampa D-line, we'll talk about this. We got 13 days to talk about this. Their D-line gets after people. Their linebackers get after people. You need to be at full strength on that offensive line when it comes time to get done. But I think the Chiefs will find some way to – Andy Reid will help scheme up some way to alleviate the fact that you don't have your starting left tackle, because he's good at doing that too.
I'm just glad that he got to – be a part of that Super Bowl last year, and that, you know, if he's able to, I mean, I hope that he's able to recover from it. I know sometimes Achilles injuries can be the kind that you're never quite the same afterwards, but it does seem like they've come a long way in those things. We've seen athletes come back from Achilles ruptures and still produce, so I hope that's the case for Fish, because the thing that I take a little solace in is, like, this isn't one of those deals where you go, man, this is probably the only chance he ever had to go to the Super Bowl. You know, he's already won one. And there's so many guys you feel like, man, this was it. This was our shot. And the crazy thing about this Chiefs team is you just feel like they're going to get more of these. And that, I mean, that's right. Insane to say, because we say it all the time. Well, like, you can't take it for granted, you know?
This is bad too, because, like, this isn't something like, oh, well, he'll be here, you know, next August. And he's probably not even going to be, you know, starting for the Chiefs at the beginning of the year next year. They're getting better with injuries. But you don't generally just roll back. Remember Kevin Durant popped his Achilles in the finals?
Yep.
Whole year off, right?
Yep.
Not to say I'm not, you know, diagnosing this thing here, but this is something that's going to be more than just this 13 days here. But that's the most important part about what we're talking about, is they're going to play the Super Bowl in a few, you know, less than 2 weeks, and they won't have him for that. But this is something that takes a while, and this is about as late as you can get hurt. You know, I mean, Derek Johnson, you can talk to him about it when you get him on, what it was like to come back from his Achilles.
Yep.
That was a big deal. That was a December thing. He made it back by the next year, right? He got hurt the first week of December, so he had about a 6 weeks head start on where we are right now.
Okay, so I've already been asked this question, I believe, 5 times since last night, so I'll ask you this, and we'll see how many times this comes up. And maybe there's no chance whatsoever, but I feel like I got to ask it. Is there any chance, you think, that Mitchell Schwartz can play in the Super Bowl?
Well, right now at 7:25 in the morning, before someone tells us he can't, then, yeah, sure, I'll say there's a small chance.
Yeah,
that was what I was wanting to ask last night. I had my hand up to ask that last night, but I didn't get in on the people who would know. I got in to ask, like, Frank Clark a question, but I don't think he was the guy to ask about that. But Andy Reid will speak today. You know, at noonish somewhere is the schedule to do that. So I'm sure that's going to be a question that gets asked. And I'm sure the answer will be ambiguous is what it'll be. But, I, you know, he's got – this is 13 more days for him from where they said at the beginning, you know, we'll see, and they pretty much ruled him out for the postseason. But that'll be a question today. That would be a monstrous help if they could have him back in some way. But my don't scream on that chance, because my chance is like 1% right now at this time of the morning.
I just thought I'd ask, you know. I mean.
Yeah, sure.
All I could tell you is this. What they've overcome already on the offensive line is just unbelievable. And I don't know that we give Andy Heck enough credit for getting his guys ready. And then, of course, Andy Reid being able to take all the ingredients and mix it into something delicious for us to watch every Sunday. It's going to be tough to overcome Eric Fisher's injury, no doubt about that. But as long as they got 15, 87, and 10 out there, I sound like Gunther now. I'm just throwing out numbers.
right? 22 looking me right in the eyes.
Tell you what, 15's got a howitzer for an arm.
You need to see me blink.
Hey. Do you remember? I'll never forget that. When somebody asked if Elvis Gerback was his quarterback, he's got a howitzer for an arm. Of course he's my quarterback. We're like, oh, no.
For some reason, all I remember is him saying, you know, what I don't want is for Elvis to run around back there and play big-time Charlie and, you know, try to run some guy over like Kimball does as safety.
And I'll be right. Damned if
I've always appreciated big-time Charlie. We got big-time Charlies all over the field now.
When so I give it to the players and does it look far enough, I go back in.
Oh. As long as they got 15, 87, and 10 on offense, we good. We good, Lebo?
Yep.
Did you think?
There's a bunch of big-time Charlies out there.
Well, yeah, big-time Charlies. Now, it used to be big-time Charlies. Now, things got a little hay-wacky yesterday, Lebo. But
that happens. It does.
You know, things can get hay-wacky sometimes, and then you just keep going.
Hey, one of the weirdest things that got rolled out last night near the end of Andy Reid, he was happy, and he was hay-wacky, right? The whole thing was hay-wacky. He brought up the fifth down game out of the blue last night.
That's unnecessary.
Yeah, he did.
Can you go
to
do
be
this?
Honest with you?
No, he brought up he's.
So I told you, they got about. Oh, I did Gunther Cunningham impression when I was talking about.
Oh, Andy.
Go ahead, Todd.
Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, wacky. But they weren't even talking about. They weren't even talking about that. But he's like, can you go do this or that? He's like, you know, we did this. He was talking about almost beating Miami when he was at Missouri, and then he was like, you know, I tell EV all the time, it took him five downs to beat us. It was kind of like the whole idea of not having all of your guys around. So, yeah, sure, whatever. As long as they don't get five downs, I think the Chiefs have a chance against Tampa. That's what we're reading to that.
He was talking to Vahe.
Whatever, get five downs.
Doggone it, Vahe. You know? He dropped a bunch of doggonets on reporters last night, too.
Yeah. Vahe's always been trying to get him to talk about the fifth down, like for like 8 years, and he never really will do it, and then he finally did it right then.
and Vahe, if you're listening, why? Let's stop talking about this. I don't want to hear about that ever again in my life, to be honest with you. Todd Lebo is our guest. Todd, real quick, just to get a little bit more on the opponent, anything else that stood out to you about Tampa's victory over the Green Bay Packers besides Matt LaFleur's fascination with kicking a field goal down 8?
Well, Tampa's defense is good. We know that. I mean, the Chiefs got out to that big start on them, and it, you know, should have been more. I mean, it was 17, and that was when they ran the play where Travis Kelce should have run it, so they probably should have scored a touchdown on the first drive. And they were down ready to score when they got back and they hit Mahomes, forced a fumble. That kind of turned the game. It was 17-0, about to be 20 or 24-0. Tampa's defense will get after you. I love their linebackers. That Devin White, number 45, that kid is a stud, right? And their D-line gets after you, so they're not some easy challenge. The Chiefs look like they're about ready to crush them, right? They were up 17-0. That game ended up being 27-24 because it is never over when you're dealing with Tom Brady till it's over. That's the dude who was down by 25 points in the Super Bowl and won it, right? That's the guy who fumbled the ball, but they said it was tucked, and they got to go play in the snow. I mean, so you have to crash him when you're dealing with Tom Brady. And I suggest that if they have a chance to put their foot on their neck at any point during that game, Travis Kelce, don't try to throw the ball. Run it in. Take the 7, right? Don't try to get cute on those things. So they're going to have to be right to beat him. We're going to talk about it a lot. It's going to be epic. You know, you have the actual GOAT and the GOAT-to-be in Patrick Mahomes. So you can't underestimate or undersell what Tom Brady has done by taking that franchise to the Super Bowl in his first year without having any offseason or anything to do. He had the unsanctioned offseason when he just got the guys out in the park during a pandemic, right? Because he will, you know, we know he'll skirt the rules. But, you know, Bill Belichick's sitting up there with nothing. Bill Belichick's watching the playoffs, and Tom Brady's at the Super Bowl. That's crazy, man.
He basically just went and picked a team like, okay, who wants to go to the Super Bowl with me? All right, Tampa?
All right, go.
Okay, let's go.
Now, that wouldn't have worked with some franchises. He went to a good team that was that had a lot of good parts. But they do have a lot of good parts, man. They do.
Yeah, but they were 7-9 last year, and now they're in the Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. One final question for you. Adam Schefter tweeted this out before the game that if the Bills won, they were planning to fly to Tampa 2 days before the game. But the Chiefs, if they won, and guess what, guys, they did, they're planning to fly to Tampa the day before the Super Bowl. Just another reminder of how different things are. Super Bowl week, the 2 weeks leading up to it, and especially that week, is going to be so different. The Chiefs aren't even going to fly to Tampa until the day before the Super Bowl time.
Yeah, it's going to be a different thing. Here's the deal, because they're going to take everything else very seriously. I mean, this is not going to be the week you get to go out and party in Tampa. But this hasn't been the year you got to go out and be Super Bowl champions and run around the world either. But these guys don't seem to care, man. They want to win another one. There'll be time enough to party another day, you know? The Super Bowl's going to be super weird. I don't think the NFL has it all figured out yet, honestly.
The Chiefs are going to be away from all the distractions.
Yep.
Tampa's in it. Tampa, they're going to be in the middle of it. I love it.
Yeah.
I think that works to the Chiefs' advantage.
And, you know, we know what it's like with the fans at the Super Bowl. They're not all going to get tickets. The place isn't going to be at full capacity. And even if it were at full capacity, the Tampa fans don't get all the tickets because some of them are given away to the other team and all that stuff. So this is, if there was ever a time to have the Super Bowl in someone's home stadium and you're the opponent, this is the year.
Yeah, but and Tampa's not like Minnesota. Like if Minnesota had gotten their Super Bowl in Minneapolis, that town is obsessed with the Vikings, right? Tampa's, there's people in Tampa aren't obsessed with any professional sports teams there because they're all from somewhere else. People that live in Tampa are fans of the Red Sox and Yankees and things like that. It's not the same type of rabid fan base that you have in other places.
True.
So, you know, it's and right now, like Florida, it's open for business. They don't care about the pandemic. I mean, they're going out to bar. The bars are packed. You know, like I'm glad the Chiefs are staying away from there until the last minute. Go down there and win the game.
Go ahead and check and under. Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback, how have the Chiefs done on the road?
How's he done in Tampa? Like, we don't have any reference to know how he'll do when he goes down to Tampa to play that Bucs team.
Oh, yeah, except for that one time, yeah, this year.
Mm. Todd, I love you, Todd. Not afraid to say
I love you, buddy.
You know that?
I'm afraid.
All right, man.
I'm sad we don't get to spend 9 days in a hotel room together this year. But
you know what, though? It happened. No one can ever take that away from us. Those 9 days are ours forever, all right?
I'm going to come up and spend 9 days at your house.
Let's at least just come up here and let's leave a salad on the counter and see how long it'll take for me to eat it. How about that? 5 days
later,
so what? Is it good or not? Todd, thank you for the time, sir.
All right, boys.
That's Mr. Todd Lebo, always doing a fantastic job on the Zoom press conferences and covering the Chiefs for us right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.